God's promise to David, "Thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee." The aim of this lesson is to show that the promises made to David will be fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ. Long ago, God told Moses of his great purpose with the world.
"As truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord." Numbers 14, verse 21.
God will begin to bring this to pass when he sends the Lord Jesus Christ back to the earth to rule as king on David's throne. At the end of his reign, the whole earth will be a place where God's glory alone is seen and known. The reading for today's lesson is from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 to 17. David's wish denied. 2 Samuel 7, verses 1 to 7. Now that he was king over all Israel, and God had given him rest from all his enemies, David realized how wonderfully God had blessed him. He wanted to do something to show God how grateful he was. It distressed David to think that while he lived in a beautiful palace of cedar wood, the Ark of God rested in a tent. It was certainly a special tent, which he had pitched for it on Mount Zion, but David longed to build a great and beautiful temple in which to place the Ark of God, the living God, whom he worshipped. He told Nathan the prophet what he planned to do. Nathan thought it was a good idea. "Do all that is in thine heart," Nathan said, "for the Lord is with thee." But Nathan was wrong. That night, God spoke to Nathan and told him that David was not to build him a temple. David had been a warrior and had slain many men in his battles. It was not fitting that such a man of war should build a house of worship for God. Instead, God promised to give David a son who would be a man of peace, and this son would build a house for God. 1 Chronicles 22, verses 7 to 9. This son was Solomon, whose name means peaceable. He was to be the one who would build the temple that David had planned and put in it the Ark of God. God was not displeased with David, though. God showed just how pleased he was with David's whole attitude by giving him a most wonderful promise. God said that he would build David a house. That is, he would establish David's family line out of which would come a very special son. This promise was about another son of David, one who was greater than Solomon. Matthew 12, verse 42. God's wonderful plan. Numbers 14, verse 21. God had always planned to set up his kingdom on earth. He said long ago that he would fill the earth with his glory. In Numbers 14, verse 21. That is, all creation will give glory and praise to him forever. Psalm 145, verses 10 to 12. This is the reason for Jesus Christ to return and judge the world wisely and righteously. As king, he must first cleanse it of wickedness and violence and change the hearts and minds of the people by teaching them God's laws. Isaiah 2, verses 2 to 4. Not only will he cleanse the world of all the pollution that men have filled it with, but he will put an end to wars and sickness and disease and all those things which cause pain and sadness. He is even going to put an end to death, too. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26, and Revelation 21, verse 4. This is what the world will be like when everyone loves God and obeys his laws. All such people will be given immortality, and the earth will truly be full of God's glory. God's promise to David, 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 to 17. David's heart was so full of love for God and his ways were so upright that God chose him to play a very important part in his wonderful plan. Though it was Solomon who would build the temple, David would have a more illustrious son than Solomon, Jesus, the son of Mary and son of God, Luke chapter 1, verses 31 and 35. As we read through the words of the promise, we will learn why David felt so humbled after God had revealed his plan to him. In 2 Samuel 7, verse 12, we read, "When thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers."
David would not see these promises fulfilled in his lifetime. Thousands of years would pass. In verse 12, we also read, "I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels." The promised seed, or descendant, would be in the family line of David. Again in verse 12, we read, "I will establish his kingdom." This kingdom would be God's, and he would set it up. It is the kingdom that we are looking forward to. In verse 13, it says, "He shall build an house for my name." It will be the work of this king to build a magnificent temple for God, because everyone in the world must go up to worship him. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3, and Zechariah 14, verse 16. It will be a house of prayer for all nations. Isaiah 56, verse 7. However, the house that God had promised to David is more than just a building. It is also the people who live in the house, the household or family of God, the ecclesia made up of the brethren and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 14 it says, "I will be his father, and he shall be my son." The most remarkable thing about this promise is that this descendant of David would also be the Son of God. Mary was indeed his mother, but God himself is his father. Luke 1, verses 32 and 35. Verse 14 also says, "If he commit iniquity." This wonderful Son of David, Jesus the Son of God, would never commit iniquity, but obey his heavenly Father perfectly to the very end of his life. He suffered and died to save others who sin and are in need of forgiveness. He was a fit man to be God's king, for he alone was raised from the dead, never to die again. In verse 15 it says, "My mercy shall not depart away from him." He pleased his Father in every way, and so God declared, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Matthew 17, verse 5. In verse 16 it says, "Thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee." David himself would be raised from the dead to witness the fulfillment of all that God had promised. In verse 16 it also says, "Thy throne shall be established forever." The angel Gabriel spoke to Mary of the baby she would have who would grow up to be this promised king. "The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Luke 1, verses 32 and 33. We know that all the faithful men and women, even before David's days, looked forward to the coming of the promised seed. Yet it was to King David that God made this wonderful promise of a king who would reign forever on his throne. These are the key words of the promise. Jesus Christ will return. 2 Samuel 7, verse 16. Jesus is not yet ruling as king of Israel, and he is not yet sitting on the throne of David. Matthew 25, verse 31. After his crucifixion, God raised him from the dead and gave him a place of glory at his right hand in his throne in heaven. There he awaits the time when God will send him back to the earth to take the kingdom and the throne and reign. Acts 3, verses 20 to 21. God said to him, "Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord Jesus Christ has been in heaven a long time, nearly 2,000 years, but the time for him to return is close at hand. Luke 21, verses 27 to 28. As we read in lesson 24 in the additional notes, the return of the Jews to the land of Israel is a sure sign to us that he is coming soon. When Jesus returns, the first thing he will do is raise the dead. David will be among the faithful who are raised, and he will see his seed, the one mentioned in this promise, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is part of the meaning of the promise, for while 2 Samuel 7 verse 12 promises that the kingdom of God will be set up after David's death, verse 16 says the promise kingdom will be established forever before thee. That means before David's very eyes. For this to happen, he must be raised from the grave. Psalm 71, verse 20. Lesson for us. God has made wonderful promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as well as to David. These promises collectively are called the hope of Israel in Acts 28, verse 20. It is a Jewish hope, the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, Acts 26, verse 6, for these men were all Jews. But even though we may be Gentiles, God has made it possible for us to share in this hope. Anyone who believes in these promises and is baptized can become part of the house for God's name, part of God's family. Jesus Christ is the head of this house, and we must follow his example. Galatians 3, verses 26 to 29. What marvelous kindness God has shown to us in telling us about such great and precious promises and offering us the same hope that he offered David, the hope of eternal life in his wonderful kingdom. 2 Peter 1, verses 2 to 4, and John 3, verse 16. We must try to please God in our thoughts and words and actions, just as David did, that God may think of us as he thought of David, as a man after mine own heart. Acts 13, verse 22. Additional notes for ages 11 to 12. Some parts of the promise apply to Solomon, David's son, but it can only be properly fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Although Solomon, who reigned after David, did build God a temple, he was not the promised son of God. He became king while David was still alive, in 1 Chronicles 29, verses 20 to 24, and his kingdom did not last forever, 1 Kings 11, verse 11. He did commit iniquity so that God's mercy departed from him, 1 Kings 11, verse 9. In each of these things, Solomon did not fulfill the promise, proving that its complete fulfillment can only be brought about by the Lord Jesus Christ.